This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Every year, up to 150,000 bodies go unclaimed in the U.S. In many cases, the dead have no living relatives, are homeless, or there's simply no one from the family that will accept the body and the high costs associated with a funeral or cremation. While this issue hasn't gotten a lot of attention, it's only expected to get worse as America's population skews older. One of these stories is that of Lena Brown.
For most of her adult life, lived a middle-class life. She had a paid-off house. She had a flush savings account. She had Social Security income. She lived a very long life. And into her 90s, when her body started to break down and she needed full-time care, she was put in a nursing home by a nephew. And within a couple of years, all her money had been spent down. And she died penniless. She died, as the county determined, indigent, and went into that mass grave, you know, after being cremated by the county. But I think it's sometimes a misnomer or misunderstanding a lot of the press coverage about the unclaimed, that somebody who dies indigent was always indigent.
That's Pamela Prickett, an associate professor of sociology at the University of Amsterdam and the co-author of the book The Unclaimed, Abandonment and Hope in the City of Angels.
The unclaimed are people who die with no next of kin willing or able to claim their bodies. And that means that a local government official, in the case of our book, the County of Los Angeles, calls the next of kin and asks, "Will you claim this body?" And for a number of reasons, the answer is increasingly no.
In general, men typically go unclaimed at a higher rate than women, and the average age is younger than you would think. Most unclaimed people are in their late 40s and 50s. For many of these deaths, there are still living family members out there, but the hard part is finding them.
There is no federal agency to track or oversee the unclaimed. In the United States, death is a very local event. So when it comes to the time of disposition and determine whether or not somebody is going to be claimed, that's often happening at the local level. So you can just imagine, it really depends on how resourced those local governments are. In smaller counties, you'll often find that this is done by a local coroner or a sheriff's office or a justice of the peace, for example. This is common in places like Texas, which have far fewer medical examiners than you would think. And so it's really up to those kind of government officials to determine whether or not they're doing their due diligence.
Prickett and her co-author Stefan Timmermans focus on Los Angeles County because it's one of the few places that have a multi-layered system in place for identifying the bodies and tracking down next of kin.
They'll go through everything in a decedent's property, their home, their apartment, looking for all kinds of clues. The body will then be transferred back to the Department of Medical Examiner. And if no next of kin was easily found by the death scene investigator, they transfer the case to the Department of Notifications. A notification staff is a small group, but they are exceptionally well-versed in Ancestry.com and Accurate and all kinds of different databases, which they use, and they'll enter in kind of any information that they can find, different names, different dates of birth. They get extremely creative. They often will find associates. They'll make calls to neighbors, family, friends, but they're looking for a very targeted definition of what it is next of kin.
In the government's eyes, this means the person's closest living blood relative or relatives. This legal definition can get dicey when there are friends or chosen family members of the deceased who are willing to claim the body but can't because they don't qualify within this definition. One person who understands the complexity and challenges of this search is Chuck Hurick, a senior fiscal scientist at the National Institute of Justice. Hurick is an expert in forensic science and since 2010 has managed the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, or NAMIS. This federal program is the only national public database that displays missing, unidentified, and unclaimed persons cases. For families searching for their loved ones, it's a vital tool, but unfortunately, the majority of counties don't post the names of their unclaimed dead to NamUs. Why?
NamUs is a voluntary entry database. That means agencies don't have to use it. We would like to think that they want to use it because it is such an excellent tool and communication avenue for them to try to get resolutions in all three types of these cases. But we do understand that police departments, medical examiners, and coroner's offices across the United States are extremely resource-strapped. So I think one of the biggest reasons that NamUs isn't used as extensively as it could be is that agencies just don't have the personnel to do the case entry and then be able to monitor or manage the cases. Police departments across the country are closing cold case units. In many instances, those cold case units work missing persons cases. So it's not that the departments aren't interested in handling these cases. They just don't have the manpower with their current caseloads to get to these cases in a timely manner.
Today, there's legislation in 16 states mandating that medical examiners and coroners must publish missing and unidentified person cases in NamUs. But this law sadly doesn't extend to unclaimed people who have been identified.
It's still not a mandatory case entry legislation. It's more of a, we would like you to do this and use this system to enter these cases, but there's no penalty if agencies don't. But I think the more widespread knowledge we can provide to everybody involved in using NamUs will help to increase the number of cases. And like any database, the more information that is in the NamUs database, the more we have to compare and the higher percentage of resolutions we will be able to provide.
If county officials fail to find the next of kin or family members of the deceased have been found but won't accept the body, then the unclaimed person's case moves to the next stage.
They'll go into determining whether or not that person has assets. If they do not have assets, then what happens in Los Angeles and in many places across the country is the cheapest disposition possible. And that will be a county cremation, either cremated by the county itself or outsourced to a low-cost cremator. In Los Angeles, one of the unique features of the system that they designed is that they'll hold on to ashes for 3 years, giving next of kin an opportunity to come back and claim. That rarely happens. Once somebody is on the path towards going unclaimed, they very often remain unclaimed.
While most unclaimed people are cremated, Prickett says there is a small sliver who do have assets and end up being buried.
Let's say $50,000. They may receive then a private funeral, which is organized by the public administrator, and that's under the office of the treasury. And there's a lot of pomp and circumstance often in these, but they're really kind of a generic funeral, if you will. It's some of the most sort of depressing funerals I think I've ever been to. They last about 7 minutes. Nobody comes to them but the cemetery staff.
For those who have been cremated, most counties also differ from LA in that they don't hold on to individual ashes for 3 years. The remains are often promptly dispersed into a mass common grave for the unclaimed. This can lead to a lot of heartache for family members who have been searching for their loved ones and find them, but it's too late to claim the body.
There's a lot of Americans who just don't know what's happened to their loved one. And it's, you know, there's a solid chance the person has gone unclaimed, and being able to find where they are is like finding a needle in a haystack.
The U.S. has different databases to help connect these dots, but for the general public, this open access information is limited and scarce. NamUs is a big part of this search, yet so many coroner and medical examiner offices never publish their list of identified but unclaimed dead to this directory. Hurick calls on professionals in the industry to start posting to NamUs and relying on it as a resource.
All of the services that NamUs provides are free. Nobody has to pay for the forensic testing. The investigative and analytical support is at no cost to them. And we just want to be here to help resolve these cases. And as we continue to resolve cases, we want those success stories to be shown so other agencies can continue to investigate NamUs and hopefully start using it.
To find out more about this topic and our guests, head to viewpointsradio.org. This story was written and produced by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy, plus get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. Coming up on Viewpoints.
In the industry sector, we're still going to continue to make those products. It's just how they're made that has to change.
The production of goods and materials accounts for about 30% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Why is this number still so high? Then,
there's a risk that this election could end up being decided based on fake video or fake audio tapes.
AI and its influence on elections. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.